Is there better music than Joe Giuliano getting us into the Four Outdoorsmen on Sunday nights on Bob Total Country? How are you guys, man?
You know what? I'm doing good, but if you could say better music, I love this theme song, Stru, because it's stuck with us for the last 5 years. But it is nice to hear a little Waylon Jennings, George Strait, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Fishing in the Dark.
Brandon? What's Brandon? Brandon, what's your
Brandon, what's your favorite song?
My favorite song? That's a crazy question.
That is a weird question.
Ain't Living Long Like This by Waylon Jennings.
What's your favorite song to play? Let's say that.
When I'm it's a weird one because it's Boys of Summer by Don Henley. I like the version of it.
Song.
It's one of my favorite songs ever, and I kind of give it a country flair.
What's the name of your band, and why are you not at the regional CMAs or whatever?
We're Brandon and Erica. It's just an acoustic duo. We just have fun with it. But Erica is there because she's in another group that is up for tribute band of the year. She's in the Girls Night Out, a tribute to the All Star Ladies of Country. And it's a huge, they do theaters. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Cool.
And yeah, so she's there tonight. I'm sure all dressed up to the nines.
Do you know who I would pick? Brandon, can you guess who I would pick? I can't sing or play any musical instrument worth a dang, but you know who I'd pick?
Is your favorite?
Local,
to play
these are
with.
Local people.
Local. Right. Local. Yeah, guess right. who I would take
Papa Bear Norton, the ice fishing song?
That's exactly nice. Right.
Yeah, good pick. Good pick.
Hey, happy Sunday evening to the land of 10,000 lakes. Strewman to my right, bringing us in the show like he always does. Boomer here, producer Mark to my left. It's a nice, warm, above 0 degree day here in the land of...
Let me ask you a question, and I'll ask Mark the same question. Are you still married as of today?
Yes.
Mark, are you still married as of today?
Yes.
Then what did you guys do for Valentine's Day?
You know what? We went out to eat. I had a gift card, actually, and we went out to eat.
At the Stru's own heart.
Stru Man's favorite buddy.
Yeah, and then we watched a little Netflix and just kind of relaxed. Attaboy, what about you?
I got home from work, made dinner, and then wrestled 3 kids and went to bed.
I don't think anyone, if you're just tuning in, the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country here, I don't think anyone beat what Scott Merwin did. I saw a post on Facebook about how he made sure there was fresh wax worms in the cup for him and his beautiful wife, Kristen, to go out fishing, and Scotty the man, and they went out ice fishing.
I tell you what, that's a good deal, and he's got a good wife. Go ahead, Mark.
You know, I know you probably asked that as a great lead-in for the wonderful thing you did on
Valentine's
Day.
No,
yeah, what
no,
did
no,
you
I'm,
do on I'm Valentine's
still,
Day?
I was going to say I'm not married anymore. We just got divorced. Why? So don't. No. We're still married. No, we planned it a long time ago. There's a place just north of St. Paul near Forest Lake called Running Aces. Racing all summer long. It's a fun place. You can play blackjack. Got music all the time. I've seen Brandon out there before, Jake Nelson, a bunch of people out there. But anyway, last Thursday on Valentine's, once a month or so at Running Aces, they have live music and comedy club, stand-up comedians. And we've seen stand-up comedians 3 times there, and everyone was absolutely hilarious. So we went out there and had a bite to eat and a cocktail or two and listened to some stand-up comedians and just had a great time. So that was our Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to all the lovely ladies out there, listeners, and thanks for hanging on to guys like us.
Well, I tell you what, I had an absolutely amazing Sunday. Hey, Mark, you got a haircut, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Looking good, buddy.
Yep. Big. I'm going to Pheasant Fest on Thursday. I'm representing the Flush TV show, and I have to look good, so I got my hairs cut.
Speaking of Pheasant Fest, we're going to talk about that a little later in the show at 6:20, aren't we, Mark?
We are. We're going to have Jared Wicklin on, our friend and frequent guest, to talk about Pheasant Fest this year, which is in Schaumburg outside of Chicago, which is a different venue for Pheasant Fest. So we're all kind of excited to see how it does down there. I mean, I know there's a lot of pheasant hunters there, and we'll see.
Well, you know what? I love having Jared on. He's the PR guru for Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. And hopefully he can give us an update on pheasant numbers, how the pheasant season kind of rolled out through the state of Minnesota this last year. And then Stru, at 6:40, we got another big Stru guest. Who's that going to be?
We got Travis. Ha- no, Travis. Not Travis. He's not going to be on. We got John Kimball's going to be on, and Darren. I forget Darren's last name right now, but Darren's the guy who caught the monster sturgeon. I can't wait to hear this
78
story.
78 inches.
It's 72 or 78. It's a big fish. It's bigger than I am.
Through the ice,
about 120
right?
Yeah, how do you do that? And it took over an hour to get it in. And
I saw the video.
Yeah,
that was cool.
It's a great video. They had to have a lot of help, and they had to get very, very lucky to get that in as well. So that's going to be a fun story at about 6:40 or so.
Wow, I tell you what, I had a great Sunday, guys. Started off by going to church at Eagle Brook, and then after that, Decided to go home. We didn't go ice fishing today. Decided to go home, and it was time to start going through the tackle. Because as much as I'm excited about ice fishing with all the great stuff we have from Clam Outdoors and Ice Team and Vexlar, and then, you know, our recent trip, we're going to probably reschedule early in the spring to get to Devil's Lake. But I was getting super pumped about the Alumacraft, so I went through downstairs and just started going through some of the open water tackle, kind of brushing the dust off of some of the tackle boxes, seeing which rods and reels needed to be re-rigged. And it was just kind of a peaceful Sunday before the show.
That just sounds like a great day. Doesn't it sound like a great day?
I had a little old school country plan while we did it, Strew Man, and it was just a blast. What about you, Mark? What'd you do this weekend?
Well, today I took my middle son, Max, skating for the first time on our pond in the backyard. So that was a lot of fun. To get him on the ice for the first time, it's probably a memory I'll have for the rest of my life. It was really cool. Now, I had to bribe him to walk with Skittles, which I don't know if that's normal. But
it's like the movie E.T.,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He just stood there like a goon, and I'm like, come on, buddy. He's like, no. I'm like, I'll give you a Skittle if you walk towards me. So he kind of took about five steps and plopped, and so it's a start. I also have to bribe him with Skittles to go potty in the big boy potty, too.
If you ever read any of the child raising books that have been out there for 1,000 years, mm-hmm. I don't think that would pass as one of the ways to raise your child properly by bribing him or her to.
Well, you got
to
do. I could either scream at it like your old man probably did to you, bribe him like I'm probably doing, and it works. You know,
tell you what, Skittles might be the better idea. You're right. Yeah, I've been through it all.
Well, for folks just tuning in, this isn't the potty training show today.
Oh, it is.
It is. It's the Four Outdoors around Bob Country. We got a couple great guests coming up at 6:20.
Yeah, we have at 6:15, we're going to have Lance from Delta Waterfowl Association. He's going to just talk about a banquet they have coming up. Delta Waterfowl Association is a great place that helps duck hunters, you know, takes care of predators, builds houses, does all sorts of stuff to keep those duck numbers up. So we'll have Lance on here in about 5 minutes to talk about that, too.
Cool. Oh, yeah, and hey, then 6:20 will be Jared Wicklin. He's the PR guru from Pheasants Forever. He'll be chatting about Pheasant Fest that's going on in Schaumburg, which is right outside of Chicago. And then Strew's got a great guest coming up at 6:40. You do not want to miss this interview. This gentleman with his buddy landed a 78-inch sturgeon. It took them over an hour through the ice.
I wonder what kind of line they had. We're going to find that out.
Yeah, we'll get that. We'll get the details.
I watched the video and I saw him drill more holes to pull that up, which was awesome. But yeah. Anyway, it's going to be the Boomer Takeover night tonight as Boomer is filling in. On Bearfax and Fishvales, he'll be with Larry tonight. So if you're a Four Outdoorsman listener and you always wanted to call in, we don't normally do call-ins, call 763-450-0100 just to talk to Boomer. You know, you've heard him speaking for years, and now you can actually ask him a question. So do that. Oh, and by the way, right into our Four Outdoorsman shout-out page, we have a great picture of the left-handed Pollock from St. Paul as a kid there.
Yeah, that's me.
And comment on that post.
Looks like a young Boomer Esiason, doesn't he? With lefty.
He does.
Slinging it.
We have a couple comments here. It says, hello from the Zeiss family. Hello as always. And Justin, call in for Boomer in Bearfax and Fishtails. And also our friend Mike Farrell says, a summer throwback, looking forward to spring in some blackfish gear.
You know what? I was talking to Mike on the way in here, and he just got back. A shout out to him. He was fishing in Chisago. There was a big Frankie's tournament out there, and he said, pre-fishing went really well.
Murphy's Law, here we go.
And then the front came in, and he said he got a good bag, but he was looking for the kicker. And the kicker fish is like, you know, that kind of big bruiser that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. He said he just couldn't get the big bruiser to bite. I think the winning weight was about 8 pounds, but good job, Mike. And speaking of big bruisers out there, it was another big, busy weekend, Strew and producer Mark, for the Bass World. So Bassmaster had a tournament going on Lake Lanier down in Georgia. And a guy that I have met at ICAST named Paul Mueller won it. So congratulations, Paul. He's a great guy, Strew, down to earth. He's a Christian guy. He's got a family. We're going to have to get him on to talk about it. And then Major League Fishing, which is kind of the new hot deal going on in
professional. If he's a Christian, do you want me to be in the studio to ask questions? Or you
absolutely.
Better?
He's a
you
good
sure?
guy, Strew.
You
he can handle
chance?
You. Yeah, we'll take
right.
a chance.
All right.
And then I believe Edwin Evers, he won the Bass Pro Tour Major League Fishing event that just took place this weekend. So a lot of stuff going on, and we got the Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic coming up, don't we, guys?
Couple weeks coming up in March.
I think we're going to have someone from there next week while Stru's gone to talk about the Deer and Turkey Classic at the Coliseum. And you've been watching a lot of bass stuff lately, Eric.
Yes,
you converting
has.
On us here?
No, I'm not converting on you, but I'm thinking about open water, and really the only open water stuff that I can find right now is the bass stuff. And so it's really kind of interesting. You know, I'll tune into that a little bit here and there when I'm killing a couple minutes. I'm super excited to get the Alumacraft on the water again with Mike Larson. And we always make that big trip in March to the spawning walleyes that run up the Minnesota River. That's where we caught those monsters last time. So that's the next open water adventure I have.
Stru's holding a newspaper. You got something quick before
our
guests?
No. You guys just run the show. I'll just sit here. Do you need some coffee? Do you need any coffee or anything?
I'm running low.
No cream.
Yeah, speaking of...
medium roast, please.
I don't know how to transition that. Speaking of coffee, here's our next guest. I believe we have Lance on the line. Lance, are you there with us, buddy?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, thanks for reaching out to us. We'd love to... talk about your banquet. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Delta Waterfowl and the event you have coming up here?
Well, coming up here in about a month, just a little bit less than a month, here in St. Michael, our actual chapter, the Delta Waterfowl Group, put together a great banquet for the last 12 years, and we're looking forward to another banquet coming up. The actual date of the banquet is March 16th, which is a Saturday night. I'll tell you the truth, we have a great support of people throughout the community. Buffalo, St. Michael, surrounding communities come, and it's a great evening of supporting ducks and supporting waterfowl and supporting habitat in general.
You know, Lance, Boomer here, thanks for joining us. I remember back in the day when I lived down in Missouri about 15 years ago, and I was a fanatic duck hunter at the time. I think I made 42 days in a row because there was a little slough there right next to my work. And I think that was about the time that Delta Waterfowl really started to make a charge along with Ducks Unlimited, because when you think of the, you know, these nonprofits that do a lot for, you know, migratory birds and conservation and land habitat, Ducks Unlimited was really the iconic figure, but Delta Waterfowl has really came a long way, haven't they?
We have came a long ways in just supporting ducks, supporting waterfowl, but we're also supporting getting youth involved in the sport, because you guys know as well as I do and as well as many sportsmen, if we don't have the youth involved, it's not going to be there for the future. And Delta has. It's been around for almost 100 years, actually. So.
Wow. I just remember it got a pretty big name about 15 years ago. Maybe that it's out of down south, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It actually, our headquarters of Delta Waterfowl is actually out in North Dakota. Bismarck, North Dakota is where our headquarters is located.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, hey, Lance, quick question. Why should folks come to this banquet? How much does it cost? What do you get, and what can you win?
Well, I'll tell you, part of the big thing that we want is we want people having fun. When they walk in our doors, you know, you might not win a prize. We hope, I'll be honest, we hope that everyone goes away with a prize. But, you know, sometimes it just doesn't, you know, the way it is in luck, it, you don't win one. But we have a lot of guns to give away. We actually have, throughout the night, we give away about 28 This year, actually, it's 29 guns that we're going to be giving away at the banquet. We want youth involved. We want adults. We want non-hunters. We want outdoorsmen. I'll tell you the truth, the night of the banquet, like I said, it's March 16th, which is a Saturday night. Doors open at 5 o'clock. We have silent auction. We have live auction. Tickets, if you want to come and just enjoy the night. A $65 ticket will get you in, get you a meal, and get you a membership to Delta Waterfowl.
Cool.
Or if you want to go as far as even going to the top prize, you can get tables of eight. You can get corporate tables. We want all people there that night.
Hey, Lance, Stewie Man here. Thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsmen. I'll tell you what, we're reading about the Delta's mission right now. It's to increase the duck population and secure the future of waterfowl hunting. And a lot of money is going toward that through this program. I'm looking at this. For $65, that's a hell of a deal, because I'm with the Wildwood Lions Club of Matamidi, and we have a big sportsman's dinner, our annual thing, coming up March 3rd or 4th. It's the first Monday of March, and our tickets are $90. And you have, for $65, there's an awful lot going on here, whether it's a silent auction, the 50-50 raffle, the pick of the litter raffle, a big dinner. It's going to be a great, great time. That's exciting. I'm going to try to market.
Let's try to go.
Just try to go March 16th. Go ahead, Boom.
Yeah, Lance, just quick reminder here. We've got about 2 minutes left with you before we get to break. Share again the information on the banquet. Where is it, what they can win, and how can they get information on it and buy tickets?
Awesome. We basically, you go to deltawaterfalls.org.com. You can find out anything that you want for ticket information for our actual banquet or any banquet dealing with Delta Waterfall. Or you can actually have them call directly to me, Lance Krupke. I can get my phone number if it's available. I can do that, and they can call directly to me, and I'll answer any questions on that. Basically, to tell you the truth, going online, we can in the day and age of technology, they can go online and order anything they want for it and take care of everything right through Delta Waterfall, too. Yep.
Go ahead,
well, Lance, you ever been on radio before?
Say that again?
Have you been on a radio show before?
No, I have not.
I just want to say you're doing one heck of a job, buddy. Keep it up.
Well, I appreciate it. I tell you, I have three boys that I want them to have a future of waterfall, and I want them to have a future of ducks. And I'm out there for more than just that. I'm actually an educator, and I want kids involved in waterfall. I want kids involved in wildlife, and I want kids involved in nature.
Hey, Lance, I tell you what, we appreciate you having you on the Four Outdoorsmen. We will support you. You support us. That is the 12th annual March Madness Delta Waterfowl Banquet at St. Michael Community Center, right up the road. Starts at 5 o'clock for social hour, dinners at 7. If you get a chance on March 16th, get out there. St. Michael's not that far away, and all the money goes to a great cause. Hey, keeping people outdoors.
You know, I wish I could be there, Strewman, but I'm going to be at Ice Team University. But stay tuned next, because we're going to have Jared Wicklund on from Pheasants Forever talking about the big event in Schaumburg right outside Chicago called Pheasant Fest.
Checking in with the Four Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there is no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey calling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Aranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller. Bring your friends and have your Minnesota whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more.
Don't miss the Gun and Knife Show this Saturday and Sunday, February 23rd and 24th at the Cambridge Armed Forces Reserve Center. Open 9 to 5 Saturday and 9 to 3 Sunday, only $5 per day. Kids under 12 free when accompanied by a responsible adult. Buy, sell, trade guns, knives, military weapons, relics, and collectibles all in one location. The Gun and Knife Show at the Armed Forces Reserve Center in Cambridge this Saturday and Sunday, the 23rd and 24th. For more information, visit CrocodileProductions.com. That's CrocodileProductions.com.
Happy Sunday evening to the land of 10,000 lakes. Boomer here, and we are in the midst of ice fishing. There's ice all over the state. And producer Mark, we never go on the ice without our
Vexlar Electronics or my FLX 28.
I tell you what, that FLX 28 sure helps those stingy walleyes zooming in on the bottom to see where they are. Our FLX 28s fire up anytime if it's minus 20 or 30 degrees. And we always can drill a bunch of holes with our
K-Drill.
Because with one battery, it can drill about 400 inches of ice. To learn more about Vexlar and K-Drill, go to Vexlar.com.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When a client calls, what do you want them to hear? Your personal voicemail?
Hey, you've reached Greg's cell phone. I'm away right now, obviously. Leave a message and maybe I'll get back to you.
Or something a little more buttoned up, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Thanks for calling Green Landscaping. To make an appointment, dial 1. For billing, dial 2. To speak with Greg Smith, dial 3.
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic: who deserves to win big this season? My two cents, good drivers. I mean, that's why there's Snapshot from Progressive. Let's go to Rick for some confusing metaphors.
Look, if you put a classically trained cellist in a garage band and you tell him to play Filet Mignon, I guarantee you, the meat on that burrito ain't gonna light the candle.
Thanks for clarifying, Rick.
If you're a good driver, there's no other way to say it.
You deserve discounts with Snapshot. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
It's Neil here for Zero Res. You know, February is the month for love. So when is the last time you gave your carpet the love and attention it really deserved? Not only is your carpet one of the biggest investments in your home, but it's also the biggest air filter in your home. And if your carpet hasn't been professionally cleaned, you're breathing unhealthy levels of nasty dirt, dander, bacteria, and germs that keep recirculating again and again and again. But lucky for you, Zero Res is going to spread the love to you and your home with their Love Your Rug special. Get three-room Zero Resified from the Twin Cities number one carpet cleaner starting at just $109. And because love has no limits, Zero Res is going to clean your dryer vent for free when you get your air ducts clean this month. That's a $75 value. So call Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the Bob FM special, Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same. And don't forget to tell them Neil sent you from Bob FM.
Total Country Bob FM.
Free. No, I only got two.
You love the word free, don't you, Stu?
I only got two boxes of it. No, I'm teasing Mark Luke here because I was talking about the Wildwood Lions Sportsman's Dinner coming up the first Monday in March. We have tons of silent auction items. A lot of people have been very, very generous, including Ron Scherer Productions and Mark Lukey over here. He just donated three cases of shotgun shells, federal shotgun shells.
Federal Premium Ammunition is a sponsor of our show, The Flush.
Yeah.
And we get a bunch of shells from them. So we had some extras, and we thought we'd donate them to the Wildwood Lions.
So that'll be part of the silent auction. That should be a lot of fun. All the money goes to charity, just like everything else we do here.
We got a walleye trip going on Mille Lacs, too, don't we, buddy?
We do have one of those. We also have a, yes, we do. We have a, you.
Yeah, me.
All right, now listen to everybody. Now listen, this show, our Sportsman's Dinner, is in only a couple of weeks away. And we've got probably 50 solid silent auction items. And everybody that I've talked to have gotten involved with have already turned in their flyers to promote this stuff. We're waiting for one more person to turn all of this stuff in, and that is?
That would be me, Boomer. But we're going to do a 3 to 4 hour trip on Mille Lacs, fully guided. So that's going to be a blast. But speaking of a blast, we have a special guest on the show tonight. He is the man. He's basically quarter pheasant in his blood and in his DNA. Jared Wicklund from Pheasants Forever. Welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
Hey, Jared, welcome. Welcome.
A great winter.
Yeah, it's been a good winter. It's been a little long in the tooth when it comes to snow, but it's all right for that. But, Jared, where are you at tonight?
I'm actually at home right now. I'm watching. I got a cornfield next door with a bunch of deer in it, so I'm just hanging out and getting ready to go to National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic on Wednesday morning through Sunday night. So I got a big week ahead.
Well, cool. So, Jared, let's talk about you got Pheasant Fest coming up too, right?
Yep.
Let's talk about Pheasant Fest. What's going on in Schaumburg, Illinois?
Schaumburg, Illinois this year, for the first time ever in the state of Illinois, is hosting National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. I think a lot of people in Minnesota have been to it before, but for people outside of Minnesota, it's really the nation's largest upland hunting and conservation event. It's a celebration of wildlife conservation, upland bird hunting, dog training, wild game cooking, complete with hundreds of exhibitors, everything from mom-and-pop stores to the latest and greatest gear and firearms on the market. So it really is a celebration of all things upland. And what I like to tell people is, if you're looking to extend your season or maybe start your new one, come do it at National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. It's the best place to do it.
Hey, Jared, it's Mark here, and this will be my, I think, fourth in a row that I'm going to. And it was really cool last year at Sioux Falls, the first time in South Dakota, believe it or not. But just the reception there was awesome. And, of course, that's pheasant capital of the world right there. So it makes sense that it went so well. Schaumburg, what are your numbers like as far as members and stuff in Illinois? Is that a big pheasant area, or are you kind of just banking on the big population of the Chicago area?
Maybe a little bit of both, but Illinois actually ranks as the number three membership state for Pheasants Forever.
Wow.
And they've done a lot of great things there. They put in a ton of pollinator habitat the last couple of years. The folks that I've talked to, they actually had a pretty decent pheasant season in areas where they've kept quality habitat. I know some of our staff there brought some riders out on the opener this year, and they were putting up 40 to 50 birds per, 30, 40-acre field, which is pretty good. So
yeah.
I think across the board, excuse me, they had a pretty good year. You know, Schaumburg is on the outside of Chicago too. It's kind of a northwest suburb.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to get to for people, and we're excited to have it there for the first time. And there's some new things this year that are actually pretty cool. The first one being where, in conjunction with the show, there's a rights of way meeting is what it's called, and it's working to how do we fill in quality habitat and rights of way of highways, interstates, those types of things, because those can be really important areas for not just upland birds, but pollinators and a whole bunch of critters that can hatch in rights of way. So that's one of the new things going on this year that we're going to be hosting in Schaumburg.
Well, Jared Boomer here. I remember last year I lost a bet when we had you on because I think Pheasant Fest last year was in South Dakota. And I lost a bet to Strew because he's like, that's the first time it's been in South Dakota. And I was like, there was no way. Remember that wild card?
I do. Did you ever pay me?
I did not pay you yet, so I should have said it. But is this the first time Pheasant Fest is out in Illinois, Jared?
It's the first time we've ever been there. We're really excited for it. We've actually got the most chapter support ever, like sign-ups ahead of time. They've got some great, great chapters in Illinois, and we've got over 500 chapter leaders from the state itself signed up to come to the event for the whole weekend. You got guys coming up in RVs that are bringing, 30 people with them. So it should be a fun event. It looks like we're probably going to be back, looks like, in Minneapolis next year, and then possibly South Dakota the year after. They're still a little bit up in the air on that, but we always know we've got strong support here in the Midwest. But, this is the most eastern point we've ever been to, and we encourage folks, if you're over in Ohio or Indiana and you've never been to Pheasant Fest before, this is your best chance to do it in the closest area, and it's really easy to get to if you're flying or driving.
Well, Jared, while we have you on the show, we have to ask you about how the pheasant harvest was this last year. How was it in the Midwest? Was there any states that were a little better than others? And then let's talk about Minnesota, too.
Yeah, no problem. So I think, the pheasant hunting this year, the pheasant harvest, I think is going to show in the numbers. They haven't released all of them yet. But I think for the most part, people were really happy with pheasant numbers. I know states like Minnesota, South Dakota, I was out in Aberdeen twice hunting a lot of public land out there. There were buku numbers of birds. I'm a little stressed out right now because of the amount of snow we've had and the amount of wind with some of those storms. We've got a lot of snow in certain areas, but Minnesota and the Dakotas, South Dakota especially, had a really good pheasant season this year. Iowa was the same. I went down to Iowa, returned there after not being down there for a few years, and we were over in the western side of the state. Two of us from the office went down to pick up my new puppy, and we shot a 12-man limit by 3 o'clock in western Iowa, which hadn't been done in a long time. Wow. So I think things are really coming around. Nebraska was pretty good this year as well. Kansas, they had great quail hunting. So it'll depend on the weather this year, but we could really use a break on snow right now, as you guys probably know. We got a lot of snow in this state, and we could really use some warmer temperatures to help melt some of it away.
Well, Jared, I know there's a lot of attention about Pheasants Forever, and I know you do the PR stuff for Quail Forever, too, and we really don't talk about it a lot. I've seen a couple cubbies when I used to go duck hunting down in Missouri, and I never shot at them. They more kind of scared me as we were walking out in the evening, trying to get away from them because I had no idea what flushed in front of me. But if we were from Minnesota, as we are, where would be a great place in close proximity or close as it could be to go quail hunting and have a good experience?
If you want to go quail hunting, northern Missouri is great. But I'll tell you, northern Iowa had their largest quail population in the last 30 years here this year. I've got a lot of friends and chapter contacts down there that were actually shot limits of quail this year on public ground. They've got a lot of walk-in areas down there in southern Iowa. South Central and Southwestern Iowa continue to be strong quail areas this year and last year. Depending on how the weather goes this year, they could hold their own. So I was a great choice. Nebraska is a great choice. Missouri, there's a lot of places you can go that's within a pretty reasonable driving distance if you want to get on Bob White.
Now, with quails, that hunting is a little different, right, than pheasants, Jared. Is it true? Because, sometimes you can get a flock of pheasants up, and sometimes you can be pushing a solo. But when you're working a dog for quails, they're usually cubby together, aren't they?
Yeah, yep. They usually come up in cubbies. What a lot of people do is you know, when the covey gets up, and if you get some singles that break off, a lot of people like chasing those as well. But, you know, kind of a standard rule by quail hunters is per covey, you know, they'll usually take two birds out of the covey, and then they'll move on just to try to keep covey numbers strong. There's science that suggests that it doesn't really matter. They're going to covey back up anyways. But that's just I think that's hunter etiquette, if you will, among quail hunters, is, you know, taking two birds out of the covey. But they really are fun to hunt. They hold really well. They're great, especially for pointing dogs. But flushers work well on them as well. And they're a great species to chase if people are looking to switch something up. And their seasons usually go until the end of January in states like Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas. So it really gives you a different experience after the first of the year if you want to try it.
Hey, Jared Struman here. I'll tell you what, you know, I'm not the best hunter in the world. I don't hunt that much. But when I do, I sure have a good time. I've gone pheasant hunting a couple of times this year with Boomer and Mark. And you have to lead the pheasants a little bit, depending on direction, wind, all that kind of crap. How much farther do you have to lead a quail as compared to a pheasant? Because there's not a chance in hell I could hit a quail. Ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, you know, some folks use different chokes as well, just because they're a smaller bird. But they are fast, but the difference between them is that quail usually get up quite a bit closer because they're holding really tight. So, you know, in some respects, they do fly faster, but most of the time they're not running on you. They're sitting pretty still once they find a headquarters to covey up in. So, if you ever want to go, you give me a call. I'll take you out. We could give you some shotgun lessons if you need them, too.
There you go. Now
you're talking.
Good
luck with that.
Well, I'm going to take you up on that, too, Jared, because I would really love to do that. You know, I did it a couple times by accident in Missouri, and I would really like to get into that. This snowfall that you talk about, and I know we're all having a little bit of anxiety about what that could do for the pheasant population for this next hunting season. Does snowfall like this impact quail as much as it does pheasants?
Probably more so. Quail, that's one of the reasons why, you know, their northern range is about the middle of the state of Iowa, maybe a little bit farther north. You know, there are maybe a covey or two down in southeast Minnesota. But they're pretty rare down that way, and it's mostly because of snow. They just can't handle it. And, you know, pheasants and quail both, they aren't like a rough grouse where, you know, a rough grouse will find a snow roost, and they actually prefer a lot more snow. Pheasants and quail don't do too well with it, especially if it ices over and they got to find food. So that's one of the main reasons why.
You know, we talked about pheasants. We talk about quail. Another bird that, you know, is on the bucket list for me is a Hungarian partridge. Are you guys involved in that as well?
You know, not so much. You know, I only know a handful of people that actually target them. They're more of a species that you run into when you're out hunting shark tails or you're out hunting pheasants, and they get up and people take them that way. But I would say, you know, the work that we're doing, especially in places like North Dakota with pollinator habitat and some of the shorter grass prairie areas like in Montana, the projects that we're doing and acquisitions that we're doing in those different states, maybe not North Dakota, it's hard to do an acquisition there, but Montana for sure is really conducive to Hungarian partridge. Anywhere you start to have more winter wheat and shorter grass, you're going to run into Hungarian partridge. They are a fun bird to hunt. They're extremely fast. They fly in coveys, and we can help you out there too. We got some spots in North Dakota. We go year after year to try to target those birds once in a while.
Hey, we're talking with Jared from Pheasants Forever, and thanks for calling in and being on the 4 Outdoorsman. What's going on?
Sure.
My beautiful wife and daughter just showed up, and I just said, oh, other room, please.
Anyway, listen, I asked Jared to text me with some things he wanted to talk about. He said, tell you what, you want to bring this up? We'll talk about Pheasant Fest, of course, and we'll get back to that in a couple of seconds here. But this was a quote from Jared. He says, I can hit the highlights, of course, in the annual report just came out. Locally, people will be seeing more and more birds and bruise nights, B-R-E-W-S with a capital B. Is that, what do you mean there's going to be more cocktails involved after you go pheasant hunting? What's bruise nights?
That's right. The more cocktails you have involved, the better the fun.
Yeah, you shoot a few birds, go have a few beers is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, you guys should know it. Yeah, we actually held our inaugural event earlier in 2018. It was actually in September. I held it and basically just advertised by Facebook. We had about 150 people come out to Liftbridge Brewing out near Stillwater. We've got a lot of different chapters, not only in Minnesota, but different states holding these types of opportunities for people to come out and really hooking into millennials and people that have basically a disposable income and can get involved in pheasant hunting, connecting them to local chapters and bringing them out when they're ready to experience hunting, getting them a mentor to go with. I think that's one of the big problems with recruitment and retention is, you know, a lot of these people don't know where to turn. So we use these Burns and Brews nights or Pint nights or whatever you want to call them to connect with people, to come out, have a good time, learn about what we do as an organization. And I think they're going to be seeing more of those popping up over the coming year here in Minnesota as well.
You know, I tell you what, I don't know who came up with that idea, and hopefully it was you, but it's a wonderful idea. Anything you can do to get people involved, especially the people who have never even hunted before, let's talk about it and have a couple of beers and get them out there. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it really is. And I met a lot of new people this year at the one we held at Liftbridge. We had live music out there courtesy of Chris Koza. I'm not sure if you guys know him or not, but he's an awesome artist here in the Twin Cities. Came out and just did a bunch of acoustic sets for us. And it was just a really fun night. We had the commissioner out there before he was done and just talking about all the great things we do together. In the state of Minnesota, Pheasants Forever, a lot of people don't realize, is we've converted, and I think it's just over 56,000 acres now, to public land acquisitions where people can go out and not just hunt and recreate, but, you know, bird watch and hike. And it's, you know, connecting Pheasants Forever with what I would call non-consumptive users as well. We're all in this together, and letting people know the great things we're doing on our landscape, I think, just strengthens the bond between hunters and non-hunters. So doing a lot of great things. And, you know, you mentioned the annual report. This last year, we surpassed 18 million acres of impact nationwide since 1982. We've spent almost $900 million, and that includes over 1,500 land acquisitions and almost 200,000 acres acquired and made public, like I said, with just over 56,000 acres right here in the land of 10,000 lakes.
So
we're really proud of that. And we continue to do great things for the birds and the bees and the butterflies and hunters for public access in Minnesota and around the country.
Well, I tell you what, Jared, we're going to let you go. That's Jared Wicklund. Mark's going to bring us home. But, Jared, I can't wait to go shoot some bobwhite quail with you, buddy, either in Iowa or Missouri this next hunting season.
I'm in. Strewman's in.
Thanks, Jared. We'll see you in Schaumburg in a couple of days here. And you need to get a cool blaze orange jacket like Bob St. Pierre, by the way.
Yep, that sounds good.
All right, thanks a lot. We'll see you soon.
Next up, we're going to talk about a 78-inch sturgeon that Strew Man got as a guest through the ice on the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country.
This is brute.
Now would be the time to check on the jerky. These smokers aren't going to tend themselves. You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Outdoors.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey calling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Aranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller. Bring your friends and have your Minnesota whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more.
If you or someone you know has a great mechanical aptitude, understands trailers, can weld, and is looking for a great place to get a new job, Crystal Welding wants to talk to you. Crystal Welding is your go-to welding and fabrication shop for solutions, service, and results. And they're looking for a trailer mechanic to start immediately. Work for Crystal Welding because they're great people who get the job done right the first time. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new welding job, contact Crystal Welding at crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time too small because we do it all.
Hey there, it's your radio again. Just checking in. Today, why don't you and I do some radio magic? First, I want you to pick a number 1 to 10. Now, don't tell me. All right, I want you to double that number and say add 6 to your total number. Now, take that whole total, divide it in half. Then I want you to subtract your original number from the total. And the envelope, please. The answer is 3. And if you run a business, here are 3 reasons you should consider radio to grow your business. Number 1, radio reaches your potential customers everywhere, at home, at work, at play, in the car. No other media can say that. Number 2, radio has the best value for your advertising dollar. It's got the best ROI on any other media. And 3, if you want to reach new customers or encourage repeat business, with radio you can target your customers. It's able to reach the right people at the right time with the right message at the right cost. It's like magic. Radio delivers results.
Hi, this is Brad Clark, General Sales Manager at Bob FM. Call me at 763-412-4643 or go to radioadvertisingminnesota.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back, and we're going to be talking with Darren Trosseth and John Kimball in a couple of seconds here. Hell of a story. Learn something about those guys as well, but Mark's got a couple of shout-outs.
Yeah, I just want to give a couple of more shout-outs before we get to our next guest. Bill Katz says, hey, guys. Thanks for listening, Bill. And Sam Mather says, good show, guys. I listen from day one. Thank you so much, Sam, for listening and being a fan of the Four Outdoorsmen.
And I got a quick shout-out. I'm going to be subbing in with the family for Mark on Bear Facts and Fishtails with Larry Bullock. So don't forget to call in. We usually don't take call-ins on the Four Outdoorsmen. I'm excited to talk about some of the new regs for open water on Mille Lacs, because you're saying they can keep one. And then the Rainy River, effective March 1st, has some regulation changes. So call in on Bear Facts and Fishtails. Boomer here from 763-450-0100. Strew, bring on our guest, buddy.
Hold on. I got a shout-out.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Jake Nelson won an award for Video of the Year.
Hey, boy, way to go, Jake. Huh?
Hey, hang on a second. We're talking about the Country Music Awards,
Midwest,
the Regional Country
CMA,
Music
yeah.
Awards, and Jake Nelson's a good friend of the show as whatnot. Great singer, great band and all that. What was the video that he won?
You're Not Alone.
Yeah, and it's a great song as well.
Was Papa Bear Norton there?
Yeah, and he is up for the Maverick Award, I believe.
Are you in love with this guy?
I like, because he sings that song about ice fishing.
Yeah, he does.
Man, oh man.
Got a man crush.
Speaking of ice fishing, that's a good segue. Speaking of ice fishing, Darren and John, are you both on the air?
Yes.
John, are you there too? Right? You both there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, here we go. Now we got.
All right,
be careful.
Who's I there?
Yeah, we got to be careful because we have to make sure that only one person is talking at the same time. All right, we're talking with Darren Trosseth and Jaron. Darren, this is you. Say something right now, would you?
This is John.
Okay, and John there. Okay, they were together. Everyone knows about this. Like I said last week, unless you live under a rock, you heard about this story.
They're viral stars.
And these guys, well, they have to be tired of this by now because it's just what they do to have a lot of fun. But Darren and John were fishing someplace on this, I believe the St. Croix River, maybe down by Bayport, someplace near Brian Clawwater's territory or something like that.
Yeah, our good friend BK.
And they caught a sturgeon that is unbelievable. It's going to be a Minnesota State record. But first, let's talk about your background. We'll hear about the story. Darren, tell us where you're from, what do you do for a career, and how did you get your start in fishing and hunting?
Well, I think you're I think you said John. It's hard to hear the difference between John and Darren on the phone.
All right, I'll speak more slowly. That's Darren. We'll start with Darren this time.
Okay, perfect.
All right, so I live in Jordan, Minnesota, which is just south of Shakopee.
Yeah.
I'm an engineering technician at a medical device company here in Chaska. And so I moved just near the river here, the Minnesota River, and I grew up on Lake Vermilion, so I was into fishing all my life. And I decided to start fishing the river down here for catfish, and that kind of transitioned into sturgeon. So I've been doing that probably for 15 years now, probably.
Boy, you sound just like Brian Clawwater, because Brian Clawwater teases our buddy Boomer here to my left, and Mark Lukey's to his left. But Boomer's a walleye guy, has been for many, many years. And BK says he uses a walleye as bait for his catfish. He teases, of course. So he's gone from walleyes to catfish and sturgeon just like you have.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that bait thing.
And John, tell us a little bit about your background.
I live in Prior Lake in the Southwest Metro. I moved to Minnesota in 1998. I'm a Purdue University graduate, grew up in Indiana, and spent my youth bass fishing in Indiana. But when I moved up here, I met a couple of river rat guys in the Chaska area and started fishing catfish probably in about 2000. And I just fell in love with the river. I liked the whole concept of kind of
you know, monster fish lurking underneath you and being away from the crowds a little bit.
You know, I want to ask you two questions. Number one, had you ever ice fished before when you came from Indiana?
Yeah, we'd ice fish in Indiana, but, you know, we would strap 2x4s to our feet because we were out on, you know, two, three inches of ice on the most of the time. So
you literally, instead of those are Polish life jackets. You literally had pieces of wood on your feet so in case you went through or to help you prevent from going through the ice?
Well, it was more just to distribute your weight so you didn't go through the ice.
That's damn funny.
Better hope you don't fall through a 2x4 strapped to your feet.
Hey, I'll tell you what. You're talking about getting hooked on the catfishing and the sturgeon fishing on the river. I had gone with Brian Clawitter a couple of times. I'd never done it before, and it's something completely different. And once you catch one, you are hooked. It is an unbelievable experience. Boomer's got a couple
of things. Yeah, guys, I was going to say the last time I went sturgeon fishing, it was on the Rainy River during the spring when they make that run. And it was a real new experience for me because, you know, sometimes you're kind of scooting around looking for a couple pockets of walleyes in the Alumacraft. But what I learned is what I saw in my electronics, it was like these horizontal logs on the bottom of the screen. And the spot is on the spot when those sturges are actually spawning. And we used a circle hook with probably a half a pound of night crawlers with a rod that could bring up jaws. And it was just an amazing experience. And I remember the first one I hooked and wasn't by no means the monster that you guys caught. Yours could have probably ate mine. But it took me about 30 minutes to still bring it up. So I can't imagine what it was like to bring the monster through the hole that you guys did.
Yeah, it was quite the experience. We make that trip ourselves, John and I do. We've been going up there every year probably for the last, 10 or 12 years. So, yeah, we've caught, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of sturgeon and seen a lot of big ones. But this one was a special fish.
Tell us, all right,
how do you fish for him through the ice?
Yeah, I never heard of that before, not that big especially. But, yeah, tell us a story, how you started, what were you expecting, how many fish have you caught before, like sturgeon through the ice, and nothing nearly this big, of course. But tell us the whole story.
So back there, you really wasn't ice fishing for sturgeon not too long ago.
That's
right.
It was
like 2014 or 2015, the DNR actually opened the season up kind of year-round for catch and release. So a big shout-out to them for actually allowing us to do this because, you know, it's kind of a special fishery. So, you know, it's kind of a new thing. So we just started going out there because we like big fish and we knew they were there. We knew they could be caught through the ice. So we've just been doing that the last few years almost exclusively.
What were you guys using for bait?
Crawlers and minnows, fatheads. Fatheads and crawlers.
All right.
And was the bite similar? I want to hear the story. I mean, you know, we were using like a bait caster, a heavy-duty bait caster and a big heavyweight rod, and we kind of had the drag set loose on it. So all of a sudden when you felt like or could feel it or you just heard a tick, 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 tick. And again, were you guys using a circle hook? Because in the open water, you just kind of start reeling to set the hook. But what was that like?
So basically we're fishing straight up and down, right? So circle hooks will work, but when you're fishing straight up and down like that, the angle of the hook doesn't work quite as well. So we've kind of refined that into using trebles or regular J hooks because you're like, you know, straight up and down. So getting that hook in works a little better with a hook like that versus a circle hook. But a circle hook will certainly work. It's just the angle of the attack there. But the way they bite in the summer, they probably bite 10 times lighter than in the winter. So you can imagine that.
So all right,
let's hear the story.
Yeah, so you talked about the bite and all of that. What were you using? I saw the video. It's about a 15-minute video, so anyone can find it. I'm sure if you just Google, you know, the Minnesota State record sturgeon video with Darren and John. But what were you? Tell us about the rod. Or what kind of line were you using, and how could that not break? It's a 120-pound fish. Tell us about the equipment.
So I was using a rod that a friend of ours builds from Prior Lake. Wolfram Custom is the name of the company he has. He's kind of refined this rod. It's a 40-inch extra heavy. It's got a real long handle so you can get leverage on it. And we use like 40 to 50-pound braid line and, you know, just a reel with a good drag. And, you know, we just make sure we're set up for them every time we go out. And even then, it still took us, you know, an hour and a half to get that thing up. So
that's amazing. Okay, so tell us all about it. You get the fish. You know you got something pretty decent on. And once you started bringing it up to the hole, and John is filming this for you, and I'll tell you what, I told John today, you couldn't have caught that fish without John, I don't believe. And all of a sudden, you see it coming up to the hole. You're not going to get it through the hole. How did you make decisions as to how to proceed from there and try to get this thing up?
Well, that was there was no chance I was getting that without John's help. I mean,
there you go. There you go, John.
Yeah. we had drilled three. What we normally do is we drill sets of three holes overlapping, kind of in a triangle.
Yeah.
And my drill was kind of dying. The battery was kind of dying. So the last set we drilled a double hole. You know, I mentioned to him, I was like, I suppose we're going to catch the big fish on this double hole. And sure enough, we did.
Oh, that's
Murphy's
Law.
So we were able to squeeze another hole out of my battery for three holes, and the fish still wouldn't come up the three holes. So at that point, we kind of did a shout-out to a sturgeon Facebook group that we're part of, and we knew someone would probably be out there that night, and they came out and helped us, you know, real quickly and got a couple more holes drilled. So we were up to five holes by the time we got that fish out. And like I said, John reached down and got it, and it hurts to put your arm in that water. So,
oh, yeah. How deep of water were you guys fishing in?
30 feet.
At what point did you realize you have Godzilla on the other end of the line?
I'll let John answer that one.
Yeah, it was pretty quick after he set the hook. Darren knew that was a monster. And, you know, once the fish get over about 60 inches, they'd all just feel really heavy. So I would say we didn't really know how big it was until it came up under the ice when we still had just the double hole. And Darren and I both got our eyes on the size of the head of that fish. And we just looked at each other and said, yeah, it's not coming through that hole. What the heck do we do now? it was just a debacle from there. We ended up, you know, with five holes total. Darren, you know, stepped in one of the other holes twice and fell in up to his hip. And we had stuff thrown all over the inside of the fish house. Everything was buried in slush. Because those smaller fish houses, usually you clean all the slush out after you drill the holes. One of our other buddies and I did the math last night, and we figured it out. It was like, you know, for every hole, it's like 2.5 cubic feet of slush that you're generating.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Well, guys, I know that watching the video, it took over an hour to bring it in. You know, in the open water season, they fight absolutely amazing. It's like a smallmouth with like nitroglycerin in it, Strew. I mean, it just goes down, 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 down. In the winter, because it's so cold, is that sturgeon more lethargic, or is it still full of vinegar and fight?
It actually fought as good as you would imagine it fought. In fact, we were back out fishing last night, and I had the same rod. And I put my line down, and I was like, well, where's my bobber stop, you know, because it wasn't where it was, you know, I'd set the night before. Well, I think I peeled off probably 100 yards and finally found my bobber stop, you know, spooled up in my reel. So he must have really ran, and we, you know, we didn't realize it.
I want to ask you this. I think once you get the thing on there, the line's not going to break. But how long did it take for the next guy to bring another auger to you guys? And were you concerned about that auger cutting your line?
Absolutely. In fact, you can hear on the video, I'm clearing the slush out with a little scooper. And John said, yeah, he won't let anyone else do that, you know, because I didn't want it to be anyone else's fault if I hit that line or broke that line. You know, I wanted it to be my fault. So I was kind of controlling the situation there.
Well, it kind of reminds me, guys, producer Mark caught a beauty 26 fatty walleye at Mille Lacs, and Eric was helping you out. And I could see the pressure in Eric's eyes because I was like, hey, Eric, what's the temperature out like that? And Eric just looked at me and goes, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Hey, do you guys, now you do this on a regular basis, and good for you. It sounds really, really exciting. What, have you any idea how old that fish could be?
So the DNR is thinking anywhere from 60 to 70, possibly 100.
Isn't that something?
Wow. That's why we call them dinosaurs, buddy.
I guess so. So where do you go? Okay, it's like you getting up and playing in the major leagues and hitting a grand slam on the last day of the World Series and winning it for your team. You got no place else to go. Where do you go from 120-pound fish? What's your goal next time?
We were out looking for a bigger one last night. We know they're out there, so you just keep grinding away.
Some guys would call it a season, but no, we were out there the next Saturday again. So,
did you guys mark it on your electronics?
Yes. There's no real like set spots out there. It's all just a big open basin. So, you mean the fish itself?
Yeah, right.
We can see it on the bottom for sure.
I can imagine. You know, we get excited on the mark of a walleye versus a perch when we're in Devil's Lake. I could imagine the red mark, producer Mark and Strew. on a 120-pound sturgeon coming up to hit you.
Yeah, everyone.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, everyone that we've caught in the last, you know, month and a half or 2 months, we've seen that the bottom just looks like it grows. You know, if you're looking at a Lowrance or a Vexilar, you know, you have that solid line at whatever the bottom depth is, 30 feet. And all of a sudden, it looks like the bottom is at 28 and a half or 29 feet instead of 30 feet.
Oh, that's amazing. Good. Yeah, that's amazing. Hey, I'll tell you what, have you ever had any thoughts of having a mount made of that fish?
No, I have no interest in that. I wouldn't even want a small fish on my wall. I guess I see it as a dust collector. You know, I got the whole video experience, you know, forever. I have pictures. I have, you know, that's all I need.
And you do have a state record, correct?
The truth is Darren's wife wouldn't let him put a 6.5.
Take up the whole wall. They're not the prettiest fish in the world.
Yeah, hey, I'll tell you what, we're talking about Darren Trosseth and John Kimball, and they caught, although Darren brought it in, the biggest sturgeon ever caught in the state of Minnesota, from what I understand. And I tell you, it's so exciting. I'm excited about it. You got something else to say, Boone?
No, I was just going to say good for you guys, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, keep on fishing. Keep having fun. Thanks for sharing this story. It's going to be around for a long, long time. You guys take care of yourself, and thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care, guys. Isn't that amazing?
Gosh, that is so awesome.
I weigh 148 pounds. That's almost as big as I am. It's taller. It's longer
through
than
the
I
ice.
Am. Yeah.
Could we replicate that with you, Stu? Like, put a suit on you and see if we could get you through the hole?
Hey, speaking of, oh, I can't tell the story now because we're wrapping this thing up. We got to thank Jared from Pheasants Forever.
Going to Pheasants Fest in Schaumburg, Illinois.
And Delta Waterfowl. And we had Darren and John, who caught the biggest sturgeon in the state of Minnesota. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. Have a great week, you guys. Listen to Boomer on the next show. And in the meantime, Boomer's got something to say.
Yes, tune in to Bear Facts and Fish Tales. I'll be hosting with Larry Bolig, Hall of Famer. My beautiful family is with me to help host the show.
Yeah,
and don't forget one thing.
What?
Get outdoors.
Doors.